live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a post-Brexit trade deal has been completed between the EU and the UK on fishing rights, which proved a major sticking point. Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney said the deal was a good one for the Irish fleet and will protect Irish fishing interests in the future. However, the Kennebec's Fishermen's Organisation takes a very different view. Its chief executive tells Highland Radio News this evening that fishing is the sacrificial lamb through which this deal has been reached. The North's Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, says it's a big relief to the people of Northern Ireland. And 922 new cases of COVID-19 in the Republic today, 8 new deaths. Later in the bulletin, we'll have a brief piece of sports news, and also because it's a Thursday, we will have the farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. But we begin this evening with confirmation of a post-Brexit trade deal, which was completed between the EU and UK this afternoon. The deal, which had been expected this morning, was reportedly held up because of last-minute arguments over fishing rights. The government here says the deal averts the worst-case scenario of a no-deal outcome, which would have seen World Trade Organization trade tariffs applied to goods and services. It means there won't be extra charges on European goods in the UK, and the British government can now pursue trade deals with other non-EU countries. However, there will be increased bureaucracy, and while there won't be customs checks, there will be extra documentation. EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen addressed a press conference in Brussels a short time ago.
Parting is such sweet sorrow. But to use a line from T.S. Eliot, what we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning.
On fishing rights, which had proved a major sticking point, the Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney said the deal was a good one for Irish fishermen. He says it will protect Irish fishing interests in the long term.
Roughly what's been agreed here is that about a quarter of the fish that we catch in British waters is going to go back to the UK. But, I mean, they had been looking for 80% of that back. And we have guaranteed access into British waters for the next 5.5 years. And there'll be a review at that point. So there'll still be strong negotiating currency to protect fishing interests at that point. But this is genuinely history-making. I mean, we have been working for 4.5 years to protect Ireland and our vulnerabilities through the Brexit process, whether that's Northern Ireland and the peace process, whether it's preventing border infrastructure, whether it's preventing tariffs and quotas. And today we finally get certainty.
Well, the Kennebec's Fishermen's Organisation takes a very different view. It says the Brexit deal reached this evening has demonstrated the duplicitous nature of these protracted negotiations. CEO Sean O'Donoghue told Highland Radio News that repeated guarantees given to Irish fishermen have effectively been shredded. He says fishing is the sacrificial lamb through which this deal has been achieved.
We suspected this last Friday night, when the EU made the offer to the UK, and Ireland was taking a disproportionate cost of the 25% transfer. It was 44 million, and 31 million of that related to mackerel, and that doesn't seem to have changed in the deal that's now agreed between the European Union and the UK. We still have the 25% transfer, and at this stage I don't have the detail of what the species are involved, but I expect that it's going to be identical to what was there last Friday night, and that is totally unacceptable from an Irish industry point of view. And I'm immediately calling on the government to make sure that this disproportionate cost on the Irish fishing industry is addressed by taking mackerel quota off the other member states.
Effectively, are you saying your members have been thrown under the bus to facilitate a deal?
That is very much how we feel about it. And it, to be fair, on the wider European fishing context, it looks as if fishing has been the sacrificial lamb of the trade negotiations.
And that was Sean O'Donoghue, the chief executive of the Kilabegs Fishermen's Organisation. There's more from Sean O'Donoghue on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, a short time ago, the North's Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, said this deal will be a big relief to the people of Northern Ireland.
4.5 years ago, the North of Ireland voted to remain, but despite the wishes of the people, it now finds itself outside of the EU. And while there are distinctly different political views within the executive on leaving, I think we're all agreed that it's in no one's interest to do so without a deal. Today's positive announcement of a deal will be welcomed across the whole island of Ireland. There will be relief that a trade deal has now been agreed between Britain and the EU.
922 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in the Republic this evening, with 8 more COVID-related deaths. North of the border, there have been 841 new cases and 11 more deaths. With more, here's Emma Rose Callaghan.
There have now been 83,073 confirmed cases since the pandemic began, with 2,192 COVID-related deaths. 38 of today's new cases are in Donegal, which now has a 14-day incidence rate of 324.1 cases per 100,000 people, compared to a national average of 166. Meanwhile, another 11 people have died with COVID-19 in Northern Ireland, with 841 new cases confirmed there. The new coronavirus variant, recently discovered in England, was yesterday confirmed to be in the north. Health officials there believe the new strain is likely to have been present in the region for a period of time.
Well, it's been confirmed this evening that Ireland has the fastest growing incidence rate of COVID-19 in the EU, with a national incidence rate, as Emerald said there, of 166 per 100,000 people. The Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony Houlihan, says none of the indicators of this disease are showing encouraging signs here, and he's urging people to rigidly adhere to public health advice. Letterkenny University Hospital continues to be very busy approaching the Christmas break, with an increase expected in the number of COVID-19 cases being treated there in the coming days. Management have confirmed that high attendances in the emergency department are contributing to pressure at the hospital, with people again being asked to only attend the emergency department in case of real emergencies. With more, here's Catherine Gaffney.
In a statement, hospital manager Sean Murphy says that although the number of patients with COVID-19 in the hospital isn't as high as it was at the beginning of the month, it's likely the hospital will see an increase in cases, reflecting the growth in the transmission rate in the community in the coming days and weeks. The hospital is reminding the public to only attend the emergency department in the case of real emergencies. The ED remains open 24 hours a day for all medical emergencies. People are being asked to contact their GP during normal surgery hours, or the NowDoc GP out-of-hours service in the first instance. The NowDoc service will be providing urgent out-of-hours GP care from this evening at 6 p.m. through to Tuesday, the 29th of December at 8 a.m.
In the darkness, there is always light. That's the Christmas message of hope from the Bishop of Raphoe and the Bishop of Derry and Raphoe. Both bishops reflected today on a year like no other. As religious leaders, the Bishop of Derry and Raphoe, Reverend Andrew Forster, said it's been a difficult year for both of them not to be present with family members and others who have lost loved ones through 2020. However, Bishop Forster said in such a dark year, there was always light.
We gather around, we support each other, we have wakes, we visit houses, we're there for people, we support people through it all. And that's been wrenched away from us, which is part of our culture, actually. It's part of our culture in a rite of passage. And, you know, we've experienced it ourselves, you know, and the pain of that is huge, is absolutely huge. Mm. And, you know, for many people this Christmas, you know, who have lost loved ones from COVID or not COVID, the heartache of pain is there. But, you know, For Alan and I, as church leaders, you know, we want to say that light shines in the darkness. Mm. You know, there's a lot of darkness, but there's light in the darkness, and that's the light of Christ, the light of God's love in the midst of all of this.
Well, that was Bishop Andrew Forster, the Bishop of Derry and Raphoe, speaking to Greg Hughes on today's special Christmas Eve 9 till noon show. Well, echoing those comments, the Bishop of Raphoe, Dr. Alan McGuckian, said hope is more important than ever.
Hope is what we have, and Jesus gives us it, and it is at the core of Christmas, even if there was no light. You know, like when you say there's hope because of the vaccine and things will be better by February, and please God they will, and thank God that that is so. I pray for the ones, you said, for whom this is the last Christmas. And there's a friend of mine, I know it's his last Christmas. I was with him 2 days ago, and we prayed together, and we know this is his last Christmas, and we still had hope. It is that hope, even more. I thank God for the good news that is coming, and it will be better, and 2021 will be so much better in so many other ways. But I pray for everybody for the hope that will stand with us even where there isn't light.
And that was Bishop Alan McGuckian. In County Derry, police in Coleraine are appealing for information following reports of four suspicious objects in Hazelbank Road, Hillcrest Avenue, Kylemore Road and Ashburn Park. All four objects were examined by technical experts who declared them hoaxes. Police say from shortly after 2 o'clock this morning, Christmas Eve, they've been dealing with a number of security alerts which have caused disruption to a lot of families. Whoever placed those hoax devices there, police say, did not care about the upset and convenience they would cause. The PSNI say they have no thought for anyone other than themselves. They are appealing for information. Returning to today's main story this evening and the agreement of a Brexit deal, we've heard from the Kilbeg's Fishermen's Organisation, fishermen sceptical about the deal that has been reached today between the EU and the UK. From the farming point of view, the IFA says the deal reached between the EU and UK is a relief, but it will pose significant difficulties for the Irish agri-food sector. IFA President Tim Cullinan also said the longer-term implication for food exports could be the flooding of the UK market by cheap imports.
The UK now can do deals with other countries, particularly with South American countries, where there is the possibility of importing substandard beef into the UK, which in turn would depress the Irish market for beef as well. Obviously, we have concerns about that. But I suppose we have to look at, on the positive side, you know, what we're saying here this evening is that there will be a continuation of the level playing field.
Highland Sport, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports in Letterkenny. Find all you need for getting fit in 2021, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's approaching 5:15. Just look at some sports news. And St. Stephen's Day, as always, sees a large number of key Premier League games. Leicester City take on Manchester United at 12:30. At 3, it's Fulham versus Southampton. At 5, it's Aston Villa versus Crystal Palace. At 5:30, it's Arsenal versus Chelsea. Then at 8 o'clock on St. Stephen's evening, Manchester City take on Newcastle and Sheffield United take on Everton. Also on Saturday at 12:30, Rangers take on Hibernian in the Scottish Premiership. And at 3 o'clock, Hamilton take on Celtic. There are a number of rugby games as well on Saturday. At 1 o'clock, Zebra take on Benetton. Dragons take on Cardiff Blues at 3, and Ospreys take on Scarlets at 5:15. And there's some key interprovincial rugby matches here over the weekend as well. On Saturday evening, Munster host Leinster, and on Sunday, Connacht host Ulster. Well, yesterday in the Caribou Cup, Man United booked themselves a semi-final against rivals Man City with a 2-0 win at Everton. Late goals from Edison Cavani and Anthony Martial secured them the victory at Goodison Park. Goals from Gareth Bale, Ben Davis and Harry Kane, meanwhile, saw Tottenham beat Stoke City 3-1. They'll now face fellow London side Brentford in the final four. Liverpool and Everton will be the only Premier League sides able to host fans over the festive period following changes to the coronavirus tier system in England. Southampton and Brighton will move into tier 4 from midnight on Saturday. That means up to 2,000 supporters can no longer watch games there. Paris Saint-Germain have reportedly sacked their manager Thomas Tuchel. The news comes despite them being only a point off the top of the League One table, having beaten Strasbourg last night 4-0. In Gaelic games, Cork will face either Galway or Dublin in the Bord Gáis Munster Under-20 All-Ireland Hurling Final in the new year. That's after the Rebels beat Tipperary by 2 points in the Munster Decider, which took place last night at Park E. Cueve. And in darts, Jason Lowe will be back at Alexandra Palace on after the Christmas break following his shock win over Michael Smith in the PDC World Darts Championships last night. Lowe, who only entered Q School in January of this year, beat the world number 4 by 3-1. He'll face South African Devon Peterson in the last 16 on the 29th. Well, now it's time for Farming News and Views on Highland Radio, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Firstly, there's been a strong response rate by farmers to an offer of an extension in their contracts under the GLOSS scheme, the Organic Farming Scheme, and the Beef Data Genomics Programme. In effect, these extensions offer scheme participants an additional year in the schemes to the end of 2021. So far, 91% of GLOSS 1 and 2 participants have responded, and of these, 98% have applied to continue in the scheme for next year. 86% of the Organic Farming Scheme participants have responded, and of these, 97% have applied to continue in the scheme for next year, and 48% of the Beef Data Genomics Programme participants have responded, and of these, 97% have applied to continue in the scheme for next year. Dermot Kelleher has been elected as the new national president of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association. Earlier today, I spoke to him about his election to the post. Although from Cork, he is no stranger to Donegal and is in regular contact with Convoy farmer and former ICSA national president Malcolm Thompson. Well, Dermot, many congratulations on your election. You could hardly be taking up the post in more difficult and challenging times with so much uncertainty out there.
Thanks very much. I'm sure we'll muddle through. I think that we have a lot of challenges, but with challenges may come opportunities. We'll only have, and farmers are a very resilient type of people, and like a lot of things. We don't face farmers, they usually get across most things and they'll survive, you know.
Now, you're no stranger to Donegal. You've been up here down through the years. You know Malcolm Thompson.
I have stayed with Malcolm Thompson and Mabel a few times. I've been at the Donegal dinner dance a good few times. Mm. And I know people like John Barron and McGeer and Lawrence McManus. And there was another nice man up there near Mallon. And I was up there looking at his father a few times. I was in Donegal a good few times and there was... it's going to be a nice part of the world, and if I was looking for advice tomorrow morning, probably one of the first people I'd ring would be Malcolm Thompson.
Now, you're from Inchiquila in West Cork. You run a suckler enterprise, and I suppose some of the things that you would find would be very much common to many people here in Donegal.
We would, of course, we're in the disadvantaged area, and like the law saying that the suckler herd is not going to last. I mean, we're in a situation like a lot of people in Donegal, that maybe we have no other choice with fragmented farms and type of land, or we can't afford, we can't physically go dairying or do anything else. We're also maybe in a position that we can't go finishing animals. Land didn't go good enough, and all our land is fit for us, sucking cows, a lot of it, sucking cows and sheep.
Now, Brexit, the final negotiations are coming to an end. There's going to be a lot of small print. We won't know for a while yet exactly what way it's going to pan out. But one thing for certain, there are going to be losers in some sectors, and obviously you'll be pushing hard for compensation where possible.
Well, there's a big fund, there's a big EU fund for Brexit, and I think as we're the most affected country, we should get the lion's share of it. I mean, really, it's not rocket science. We're a small island out here in the middle of the Atlantic. We're cut off from Europe. No, we could be cut off from England as well. So we do need support, and if that big fund is coming, we need the lion's share of it. But saying that, I see there that there's a big problem now in Australia, New Zealand, and in America and Canada as well, with resistance to antibiotics, and they're feeding a lot of antibiotics to animals and things. There's a big scale on it at the moment. And there's all this talk about Europe wanting to be a world leader in climate change. Well, if they are, they can't keep buying beef at the cost of the rainforest from South America. And it looks like if they want real classy beef, the best of the grass-fed beef, with only one place to go, and that's here. So maybe, I'm not saying that we think it'll be very good, but at the moment, there's a lot of lads from the north of Ireland buying cattle down here at the mats, and their money they're paying is a lot better than what we're used to with the last year or two. Mm.
If we look at what's coming down the track, there's going to be new agri-environment schemes, and you want to see the budget for GLOSS trebled, and that's of key importance to many farmers in Donegal.
It is, of course. I mean, the GLOSS scheme, it came after the REP scheme, but compared to the REP scheme, it's only Mickey Mouse scheme. I'm not being rude, no, like, but putting up bat boxes and stuff that have no significance. I mean, we, myself and my son's been just put up bat boxes on, in the notes at Fallon, and there'd never be a bat there as far as I can see. But, like, you have all these little yorks, and you can't cut here, and you have a piece of ground, and you can't cut here till the 1st of July. You can't cut here in fine weather. You must cut the hay when it's raining. Them kind of stupid things. I mean, when we were in the reps, farms looked a lot better. Farmyards were setting up. Gates were hanging. There was it looked a lot better, and we need something. The glass needs to be changed to something like a reps 2 kind of a scheme, and they need to put a decent bit of funding into it. And this idea that for farmers will get back just what they spend is not on. Farmer needs to be paid for his bit of work.
And the farm hour organisations have a role to play. There's yourselves, there's the ICMSA, the IFA, the Irish Hill Farmers and Naturists Association. Certain people may align themselves with one group more than another, but how important is it that all the farm groups come together and lobby on the key issues?
But it's very, very important. But you see, there is two things. You have the dairy industry, and you have the beef industry, and, like, you can't serve God and man. Now, I know some organisations try and serve everybody. They want to be all things to all men, which is impossible. And I make no apology to nobody. We can produce the best grass-fed, animal welfare-friendly, environmentally friendly, fantastic sheep and lamb, beef and lamb in this country. Probably the best in the world. And the fact that it's being all dumped into a container with a byproduct out of the dairy herd is not doing us any favour. Sucked or grass-fed beef, which is all these things that people want, is naturally weaned and is naturally grown and is grass-fed and is almost organic. That has to be put out there. If they also want to sell the stuff out of the dairy herd, that's no problem. It's fit to go into tin cans, it's fit to make mince or whatever they want to do with it. The sucked up beef, the real top class quality sucked up beef, will have to be promoted for what it is and not just be dumped into container as a commodity.
So, in essence, you really want to unite all cattle, sheep and tillage farmers behind one strong organisation.
That is correct, because I'm a very firm believer that you can't be all things to all men. Representation for sheep and beef and tillage will probably have a different emphasis to the people representing the dairy lobby. They're doing a fantastic job for their farmers, and I want to do the same job for our farmers.
Just turning briefly to the Food Ombudsman, this is a new start and something that you hope can certainly make a difference.
I think we need more of a regulator, if it was possible, because there's a lot of things happening that it's not fair to the primary producer. I mean, you go into any of these big multiples and they have two steaks for the price of one, it's no problem, because they'll hold their margin, the producer hold their margin, and with all the offers, it's all going to come back to the last poor lad in the chain.
And finally, you take up the position at the AGM next month, so yes. What will your message be to farmers in Donegal for the year ahead?
My message will be to farmers in Donegal for the year ahead is that support us and support ICC and we will support you. There's one thing that can be said about me that I won't talk around corners, and I won't go hide. What you see is what you get. I won't go hiding anybody, and what I say I mean. And I actually believe that there is, out of all the doom and gloom, I think there is actually a great future out there for the sector farmers and for the choice beef that we can produce.
And that was Dermot Kelleher, who will become the new national president of the ICSA next month. In other news, the Agriculture Minister, Charlie McConnellogue, has outlined his support for a pathway to bovine viral diarrhoea freedom by 2023 and the continued supports from his department for the BVD eradication programme. The minister noted the substantial savings that are being achieved and the incidence of BVD positive animals has decreased this year to just 0.5%. 0.03%, compared with 0.66% in 2013, which was the first year of the compulsory phase of the eradication programme. Well, that's it for this week's Farming News and Views. May I wish Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue all the best after being tested positive for COVID-19. We hope he makes a quick and full recovery, and may I wish all our listeners a very happy and healthy Christmas. From me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. And one final piece of news. Santa Claus has now delivered 1.9 billion presents to children around the world so far today. He has delivered in Australia and New Zealand and across the Southern Hemisphere. He's now delivering millions of presents in India. He'll be reaching European skies in a few hours' time, expected over Ireland just before midnight. This year, he says he is wearing a mask and washing his hands after every present drop, but he's confident he can still reach every household worldwide within 24 hours. And of course, because he is a very special person and classed as an essential worker, he is not bound by coronavirus self-isolation or restricted movements regulations in any way. Well, the forecast, and this is what Santa is facing. Temperatures are dropping quickly after dark, with frost and ice forming in some parts. Frost clearing from many western areas later as increased cloud brings some patches of drizzle. Minimum overnight temperatures -2 to +3 degrees Celsius in light breezes, becoming moderate southwest. Any remaining frost or ice patches will clear during Christmas morning, leaving a fairly cloudy day tomorrow with lots of dry weather, just a few scattered patches of rain or drizzle. By tomorrow evening, persistent rain will begin to move in from the Atlantic and spread southeastwards over the province, and maximum afternoon temperatures of 6 to 9 degrees Celsius with moderate southwest breezes becoming fresh later in the day. And that's Highland Radio News on this Christmas Eve. Just the main stories before we go. A post-Brexit trade deal has been completed between the EU and UK on fishing rights. The Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney said the deal was a good one for Irish fishermen, but the KFO says the Brexit deal has demonstrated the duplicitous nature of the negotiations. Their CEO Sean O'Donoghue said fishing is the sacrificial lamb through which the deal has been reached. And 922 new cases of COVID-19 confirmed in the Republic this evening. 8 more COVID-related deaths, 38 of the cases in Donegal. And that's Highland Radio News. And that's Highland Radio News for the moment. We'll have regular national and international updates over this evening and tomorrow. But on behalf of Catherine Gaffney, Michaela Clark, Emma Rose Callaghan and the Head of News, Greg Hughes, as well as myself, Donal Kavanagh, may we wish you a very happy, healthy and peaceful Christmas. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Christmas Eve, Thursday, the 24th of December. The sudden death has taken place of Michael McLaughlin, Phil Dara, Terscullion, Cooldaff. His remains are reposing at his home. Michael's funeral mass will take place on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Ahatlay, Mallon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Irish Heart Foundation, care of any family member. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Sheila McCaughan, Carnamoyle, Muff. Requiem Mass tomorrow, Christmas Day at 1 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Ishkeheen, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, Requiem Mass is strictly restricted to family only, please. Sheila's Requiem Mass will be streamed on MCN Media, Ishkeheen. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Martin Spruill, Drumconnell, Donnyloop, Castle Finn. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St Columbus Church, Donnyloop at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the St Columbus Church, Donnyloop YouTube channel. There's a link to that on our website. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house and funeral will be strictly private to immediate family only, please. The death has taken place of Murray Gormley, Nae McGarrigle, 28 Church View, Strabane. Funeral from her home tomorrow at 10:30 for Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at mcnmedia.tv/camera/Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. And the death has taken place in England of Brian O'Donnell, Eggborough, Nottingley, Yorkshire, formerly of Clorny, Carndonna. Funeral service will be held in St Michael's Church, Nottingley, on the 13th of January at 10:15. A mass in his memory will be celebrated locally at a later date.